Okay, today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Samach Ches. We're going to get into a little bit about Iska, not necessarily the Heter Iska that we have as Manazeh, but a little bit about Iska. Today's shiur is sponsored by the Kahn family, the Zeicha Nishmas Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen, the Shemesh and Heaven Aliyah. We are on Nun Samach Zayin Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, Rav Kahana. So, the Gemara is now going back to discuss a little bit. Somebody's. Was not a money saver?
Yeah.
So, no, okay. So, the Gemara is going back to about the chashash that there's ribis by a loan where you take a mashkon and then the people would eat the peros. So, we said, so the Gemara says, Rav Kahana v'Rav Papa v'Rav Ashi lo achli ben achaisa. If they had lent money and they took a field with. And they took a field as the mashkon, they wouldn't eat in the chaisa. They wouldn't even though this is permitted, they wouldn't, when they eat from the field, and then deduct what they ate from the loan, from the outstanding amount. Because they were choshes, this is an Issa Ribis. Now, according to the Rif, this means that they thought it was an absolute Isser, and they were cholik on Rava in the beginning of the Amud, who said that Me'ikra didn't, it's mutter, it's a roya for Tam Chacham not to do. Toso says no, that they also said it's not Asim Ikar Din, but they're just Machmir Gemiras Chassidus, like Rava said, that it's Roy for Tama Chacham not to do this. Look more in the Russian similar medallion, that brings down Bolshitas. So they would not eat B'nachaisa. But Ravina Achel B'nachaisa. But Ravina was Mekel, and he would eat B'nachaisa, meaning he would eat the fruits of the field that were the Mashkon, and deduct the value of the fruits that he ate from the outstanding balance of the loan. So he Ravina Achel B'nachaisa, because he said this isn't the Chashash Ribis. So now, all the Rishonim ask, what are you talking about, Ravina? We just said yesterday that even if you hold in the Chaisa's mutter, a Talmud Chacham shouldn't do that. Rashi with shades of the Ramban, he said, "Tzurach liyasher drachav uliskadish afu mutter." Maybe people will learn from you, and then they'll be mezazel. So what's Ravina? I mean, talking about Ravina, he's the Ravina Rashi's sofara, whatever that means. But Ravina, he's a Talmud Chacham, and he's not being choshish for this. So Tosos asked. You shouldn't do it. So one Rabbeinu Tam, bring that Rabbeinu Tam, who says that Ravina didn't want to be make himself into a Talmud Chacham, and therefore he didn't hold like this. So all everyone asks, what do you mean he didn't want to make himself? You don't have the right to determine whether or not people view you as a Talmud Chacham or not. It's what other people look at you as. So some say Ravina was very sanua, and people didn't know about it. It's pretty hard. I find that hard to say. So others say that maybe what Ravina is saying over here is that he did it in the way in the mutter way that we said yesterday that you do 5 years, there was the whole
Tzitza.
What? Tzitza. Yeah, with the ketsusa. Maybe that's how he did it. In other words, the shiloh over here, how Ravina could nimr shuras adin, how Ravina could do this if he was a Talmud Chacham, and yes, we say even if it's mutter, a Talmud Chacham shouldn't do it. So now the question is, what's the machlokus? What, according to one, you can do it. According to one, you can't. So Amar Mar Zutra, my time of demand achu b'nachaisa. What is the svara of the person who says that you can eat b'nachaisa? I mean, according to Ravina. I don't know. Now there's apples and oranges, I think, to me. But the Gemara brings it. My time of the achu b'nachaisa. It's in midi dahave a stei achuza. Similar to the case of the stei achuza. What's a stei achuza? Stei achuza is the two different types of sadas. The stei achuza and a stei kinyan. So stei achuza is something that you were yoris from your fathers, from your forefathers. What happens? You were makdashit, right? You're makdashit. So it belongs to Hektish. After 49 years, the thing figure, the whole Yovel, at Yovel, it goes to the Kohanim. You want to be podit. You want to be podit. So the Torah gives a fixed amount as to what you're supposed to be podit. And really it is, you have to pay a selah and a punjun for every year for a certain amount of fruit, for a certain amount of produce. Meaning, it's a fixed amount. It's like $1.25 per certain area of the field, per year. Okay? So, mi dahave stei achuza. So what happens? Stei achuza, lav apa gav de ka'ochil piri tuva. Even though, when you let's say you only have to pay a punjon plus a seller plus a punjon to redeem it, you may eat a lot more peros than that amount during the year. Nevertheless, that selling the punjon is enough for the year. The Torah says kaporik leba arba zuze. The Torah says that it's enough with arba zuze. Really, it's four zuz plus because the seller is four zuz. It's an estimation. Really, the Torah says that it's enough. You can be poed it with the seller, and it's not considered meila, even though you are paying much less
than the payros that you're gonna benefit that year from the field. Because you see, when someone pays from the beginning for all the payros of the field, that's okay. So hakanami lo shna. So too we can learn from our case by the malve who's mekabel a sadeh for a mashkon, that if he deducts a certain amount from the chov via his eating of the fruits every year, even if he's not deducting, even if he's only deducting a small amount, that's not considered ribis. It's, I don't understand how that works. It's not considered ribis. I don't know what the connection is. Gemara answers, okay, umanda asar, according to the Chachamim, which is Kahana, Rav Papa, and Rav Ashi, who said you can't eat the peros with this nichusa. Amalach will say to you, stay a chusa hektish, you rachmana open a pigeon. No, that's something that hektish. Xerish akasas, by hektish, this works enough to be poda. But hacha halvahi, the mechsek ribis. But here it's halva. So if you are eating this fruits, it looks like ribis. What does that mean? Oh, okay. I find, you know, when you get to a tough Gemara, you get frustrated much easier. I think maybe if we weren't so you know, frustrated with the rest of Ezu Nesha, we can work this out. I couldn't figure it out last night. Okay. Now Rav Ashi brings another two dinim about the concept, two issues when it comes to Mashkon. These are figured out. So Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, Amar li sava de Masa Maksia, the elders of Masa Maksia, the elders who lived in that city, which was his city, Rav Ashi, they said, he said, Stam Mashkanta Shata. A Stam Mashkon, a regular Mashkon, is for a year. Okay? So Gemara says, Lamai Nafkamina. Okay, what is that? So what? So Gemara answers, the E Achile Shata, if the Malba is there for 1 year, Matzi Misalikle. That's when the loaf is allowed to be Misalik him. So Machlokas, we're showing them what type of field, what city we're talking about. We're talking about a city where you can be Misalik, or a city where you can't be Misalik. We'll learn it both ways. The E Achila Shata, Matzi Misalik Le. The ilo, and if the malba hasn't eaten there for a year, lo much misaliklay. So one man the Amr says, even in a place, I think the way Rashi learns it, right? Rashi seems to learn it. Even in a place where the din is that it's an asra the misalki, right? So we said yesterday there's an asra the misalki and an asra the lo misalki. So even if it's an asra the misalki where you can prepay and kick him off the land, according to Rashi, that prepayment option only kicks in after a year. But you can't prepay within a year. That's how Rashi learns it. The Ritva argues completely opposite, and he says by an asra the misalki, there's no time period for the prepayment. You can prepay tomorrow, you can kick him off the year. What we're dealing with over here is in the asra the lo misalki, that we're dealing with a place where they typically don't do it. Aye, so if you don't do it, what's this year? So he says that, he says, meaning, if it's an asra de lo misalki until the end of the year, I'm not saying, how does it work then? If you did warrant mefarish, how long does Zman Halva is? The Stam Halva is a year. So you can't be misalking him at least for a year. Usually you tell how long the loan's going to be. In this case, we're talking about a case where he didn't tell him how long the loan's going to be. So it's basically a year. It's an asr to lo misalki. He has the full year. So Machlokes Rashi Ritva on how to explain that. That's one case that he brings down. Amar Rashi. Rashi is the next case. Amar li sabi demasad maksa. The elders of Masi Maksa said to me, my mashkanta. What does it mean mashkanta? What's the shorish of the word mashkon? So he says, the shchuna gadei. Shorish of the word mashkon is a shachin, is a neighbor. It means that you become a neighbor when you take a mashkon. So lamai napkamina. What's the halachic ramification of that definition? It says, l'dina de bar metzra, for the din of bar metzra. We know the din of bar metzra, based on, Raman says, from the halach of Asisa Yashav Atov. If I own a property, and I own two properties, and I'm going to sell a property, the neighbor of the property that I'm going to sell has the right of first refusal. If he can match the price that someone else is buying it from me, he gets the right to buy it first. Din de bar metzra, the person on the border. So, but the Gemara is telling over here, to figure out also Machlokes what it means, is that if you have the Mashkon, the Malba is considered the Bar Metzra. He's the Mashkon, he's the Shachin. So, according to some, that means he gets the right of first refusal.
Meaning, even if he doesn't live there, even if he's not on the field, but since he actually owns the field, so to speak, because it's Damascus, so if the owner wants to then sell it, the neighbor doesn't get the first right, the Baal HaMashkon gets the first right. Others say, no, you know, he doesn't get the first right. It just means that if it happens to sell to the Baal HaMashkon, then the neighbor doesn't have a right to kick him off. But really, it should go to the neighbor. Nevertheless, at din of Bar Mitzvah, because of the din, because the Shachin, you learn about the din of Bar Mitzvah here. Right. So if you look in the Russian Simon Lamed Vav, it brings down both Shitas. Now the Gemara, we had three. Gemara is now going to bring down three Psakim on three issues that we had been discussing. So let's read what the three things are. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Les Hilchasa, the halacha is not like these three cases. Lo Kitarshe Papunai, not like the case of Tarshe Papunai. The Lo Kishtari Michozunai, not like the Staros Michoza. The Lo Kachiri Narshoi, and not like sharecroppers, but not like the leases that they did in Narshoi. What are these three cases? The first one we've already seen. We don't hold like Kitarshe Papunai, that's Kitarshe Drapapa. We don't hold like the Tarshe of Rav Papa. Again, it was on Samachay. What was the thing with Rav Papa? What Rav Papa did, he was a wealthy guy, and he was a beer merchant. He had a lot of beer. So he would sell the beer in September, right, for the price of Nisan, and he would deliver it to them in Nisan, which was more expensive than in September, in Tishrei, and he would accept them, and he would accept the, he was a forward contract. And he would accept the money in Nisan. He didn't need the money now. So he said that this is a ribbis because since he doesn't get any profit, because he can keep the beer in his property now. It doesn't get ruined, right? He doesn't need the money until Nisan because he's rich. So he's not getting any benefit from having the beer stay in his property. So there's no ribbis. But we said that Allah is not like him because Rapapa looked at it from his perspective. But if you look at it from the perspective of the purchasers, they are buying beer in Tishrei for the more expensive Nisan prices, so they're paying extra for the beer to be held by Rav Papa, and that's ribbis. Right? Because they're paying extra because they don't have to deliver the money for another 6 months. So that delay in delivery, they have to pay extra, that looks like ribbis. So we don't pass like Rav Papa that you're allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. That's number one. Number two is Shtari Michoznoi. What's going on here? Rashi explains it, and the Rishonim explains it. They're talking about these Staros that they used to do in the city of Mechuza. What they happened to do, they used to do enter into the Iska. Iska means sort of partnership or business dealings with a partnership. Right? And that's what the word Heter Iska comes from. You go into with the banks, with the mortgage company, into a Heter Iska. You make it into a partnership as opposed to a loan relationship. So what did they do? They had this Heter Iska where you had one, what you had the people who had the money, they would provide the capital for the partnership, and the other partner who would work, you know, the managing partner would provide the labor. That's how it works now also a lot of times. You have the capital and the labor to divide it up. So what would they would do? So then you would split the profits, right? You would split the profits. I give $100, you work on it. If we make $20 on make $20 profit, you the worker get $10, and I get $10, and I get back $110. So what would they do? They would zakpile l'ratha karna v'kasli b'shtara. What they would do is they would pre-calculate how much this is like Bernie Madoff almost. They would pre-calculate how much money they would make. They knew what the market would do. I don't know how they did that. And they would figure out how much profit they would make, and they would write that amount into the shtar. Meaning, in our case that we just said, this is the case of Rashi, I give $100, they calculate that this $100 would make a 20% profit into $120, and therefore I, who donated the capital, would get $110. So what they would do is they would write in the shtar $110. They wouldn't write $100. They would write that I loaned you $110, and therefore after you make the profit, you pay me back $110. They would write the whole thing into the Karen. Okay? And this is usher. Why? Because mi yemar dahabi ravcha. Who says you're allowed to share in the profits? That's not a problem. But who says there's going to be this revach? Who says it's going to profit? And if it doesn't profit, and you have a shtar that says you owe me 110, and I only lent you 100, it's ribbis. It's supposed to be a profit sharing scenario, but it turns into, based on this, it turns into you paying me ribbis because the loan was 100, you're paying me back 110. Based on the fact that it's going to profit, maybe the market's going to go down. So that's where you're not allowed to do that. So amr lei. Mar bar amemar l'Ravashi, but Mar bar amemar says to Ravashi, Abba abed hachi, my father, meaning amemar, would do this. He would do this. But why would he do? He wasn't choshesh for maybe it would go down. V'chi asu l'kamei mehemon lehu. But if the workers, or the poel, the managing partner, would come to him and say that there was no profit with this capital, he would believe them, and he wouldn't be gover the revach. Meaning, it went down, you don't have to pay me back the 100. Even though the star said you owe me 110, I know that the star says 110 because the 10 is supposed to be profit. You told me there was no profit, I believe it, you only pay me back the 100. So there's no issue because there's going to be no ribbis. So Rav Ashi says back to the son, to Mar Bar Meimar, that's wonderful for your father. Because your father's, question is, oh, that's, if the case is, before going on, then what's the point of making the star? If he's going to believe him. So they, we shouldn't say, because it's written in the star, maybe there'll be some fear in the merchants, and they'll be more truthful about it. So it's written in the star, you owe him 110, so they'll be more truthful about paying back, whether it was profit or no profit. So Amar Leh, Rav Ashi says back to the son of a Meimar, Tenach Hecha de Isa Lididei. That's all fine and dandy if your father's still alive. So the star says 110, there's lost profit, he'll believe them. But what if your father dies? Ishachiv, Benapil Shtar Kamei Yas Meimai. Let's say your father now passes away. And then the star comes to the Yisomim, to you. And it says, they owe you 110. Are you going to believe them? No, you say, let me talk about it. If a star here that says you owe me $110, pay me 110, and you're going to be collecting ribbis. That's why you can't do that, because you have to protect the next generation. So, terrible tragedy happens. Habe kishkaga sheyotim nifnei ha-shalit. This is like, when they mention that, oh, if a Meimar dies, and what happens? V'nach nafshidei ha-Meimar. And therefore, and then a Meimar dies. I heard that some people say that you're not supposed to say, oh, this person's very, very sick. This person, see, it didn't work. This person's very sick because then he'll really become sick. So I heard, someone told me there's a minhag in the shul, I don't remember where it was, that they don't say, oh, it's a Misha Beirach for the Cholim. Because maybe, then they're really going to become Cholim, so they're going to make a Misha Beirach. Not to say Misha Beirach for Cholim, whatever, because it's going to be a Shkaga Sheyotzim Tashal. You're talking about it, but you don't realize the power of your speech. And when you're talking about it, then it's going to come to fruition. And Nach Nafshei Da Meimar. Nice, easy two lines in the middle of this. Okay, that was number two. Number three thing that we don't paskin like. Chachiri Narshoi. What was the Chachiri Narshoi? So this is what happened. This was the minhag that they did in the year of Narush. They would lend money to the poor, right? They would lend money, and then they would take the fields of the borrowers as a mashkon, which is fine. Okay. And what they would do is then they would lease back, it's like a sale lease back. I don't know if people, they would lease back the field to the borrower, and they would, in a chachire arrangement. A chachire arrangement is similar to an aris, but not the same. An aris is a sharecropper, you work the field and you split what the profit of the field is. A chachire is a set amount. Here's the field, I give it to you, you owe me $50 a $50 a year, whether it's a produce or cash. Doesn't matter whether you make it, doesn't matter whether you have the produce, you don't produce it, you have it. It's like a real lease. So the mashkon came to the lender, and he leased it back right away to the ani without taking possession of it. The sale leased back went right back to the ani. What happens? The kasve hachi mashkin le planya ari de plani. Because the ploni, the lovo, would mashkin the karka to ploni hamalta. The hada chacharim inay, and he would be chozer and enter into this chachire arrangement, and this is usser. Why? Because the people who see it say emos kena the akne nihile. When was the malbe literally? When was the malbe kona the field that he can be maknet back to the lova? He was never kona the field. So what happens? It looks like he's taking ribbis because he lent him money. And now he's getting, and he has this field as a mashkon, so he's going to get paid back the money. And on top of getting paid back the money, he's now getting paid $50 worth of produce a year. That looks like ribbis. So this machlokes with ribbis katsutz or not, you have to read that in. But it looks like ribbis. So he's every year, as in exchange for the loan, he's also getting a certain amount of produce per year, and that's ribbis. Because even if the field, it's not a profit sharing arrangement, because even if the field doesn't produce any produce, because it's a chachiri situation, he would still get money. He would still get some sort of payback from the lease. So that's an isser that looks like ribbis. I don't know what the Havmin was saying that's okay. I guess the Havmin to say that's okay, that it really belongs to him, right? It belongs to him as the mashkon, whatever the kingdom the mashkon has, and then he's selling it back to him. So he's selling his field. He's leasing back his field for a certain amount, and he also has a loan outstanding. I guess that's the way it really is. But it just looks like it never entered the Malvez Rishus, so it looks like he's collecting ribbis. I think the reason why it looks like ribbis is not necessarily what actually happens, is what could happen. Since it could be that you would never be getting, that the field will not produce ribbis, and you would still owe me the money, so that the whole setup looks like a ribbis setup. So the Gemara says, so they try to say that maybe now in Norish they change it around, va'idna, and nowadays, the kakasvi hachi, that they write, the B'nai Norish write, kanina min nebe shahina kama yidone, v'had hachara, k'desh lo tenol das b'nei lov and shaper dami. They thought, v'lav nosi. What they did, they said, you know what, I'll sit on the field for the whole reason why it was a problem is because we never saw that the lender owned it and then it went back. So they right now that I'll sit on the field for 3 years. We shouldn't say it'll be my people see that it's mine and then I'll give it. Then I'll do the lease back after 3 years. So now we avoid that problem. And the reason why is we don't want to be tunneled down with Nelovin, because we want to make sure that people lend money to the Lovis. If the Malva is not going to get any benefit from the field, maybe he won't lend the money. So the Gemara said, maybe it's because of Lotino Dennis, but they love him, we'll allow the scenario where you do it, you know, after a couple of years, so it looks like you owned it and then you leased it back. The Lav Milsahi, no, it's the looking like ribbis outweighs the Lotino Dennis that they love him. It looks like a ribbis scenario. So I heard someone said that there is a way to go about doing this. What you can do is you borrow the money, then you give the mashkon to the lender. The lender then leases it to a third party. Okay, then the third party subleases it back to the borrower. That would be mutter, because then since it's going through, it's, again, this is the rabbanan ribbis, it's probably a vak ribbis, but it's going through the third party. So they heard that you can that it works. And these are, I mean, I'm very glad I work for somebody else. I mean, if you're on your own business, there's a lot of issues. There's a lot of ribbis issues and other issues that come in to keep all these halachas. It's difficult. You need to set up a partnership with somebody. You need halachic guidance on how to do it. Okay, the next mission is to talk about the concept of iska. We're not talking about similar to the heter iska, but not talking about our heter iska with the banks. We're talking about here with a partnership. Two guys come in, like we mentioned before. One guy provides the capital, another guy's in the cash capital, and one guy provides the working capital to work. So, how did it used to be? Let's give it a hakdama. And the Masifta has a wonderful hakdama that after you read about 25 times, it makes sense. So, we'll try it. We'll try it again. I don't know. I'm not being much ashamed on the Masifta. I just didn't understand it right away. Okay? So, when iska used to be, like we said before, is one person provides the money and he gives it to somebody, and that other person, we'll call him B, person B, uses the money to profit from it. And what do they do? And the person who provides the capital and the person who provides the work, they split the profits and they split the losses if that's going to be the case. So now, if you view the entire amount of money as belonging to the misasik, meaning if you view it as a loan, right, that he loans the money, that even if you lose to Karen, then it's going to be a chiyuk on to him to return to the Baal HaMamon to the Baal HaMamon all the money. That becomes a looks like a loan, and therefore the Baal HaMamon can't take any of the profits, because that's going to be ribbis. He lent you $1,000, and now you're giving him back $1,100. So it looks like ribbis if you view it as a loan. But if you say that it's all a pikadon, meaning it all belongs to the, it all belongs to the Baal HaMamon, and therefore all the achrais is on the Baal HaMamon, unless there's a pshia over there, all the achrais on the Baal HaMamon, then, and if there's any loss, the loss is imputed to the Baal HaMamon completely. No one's going to enter into this business. I'm going to give you $1,000, and if you lose the money, and you're going to work for me, and if you lose the money, it's all on me. We're going to enter into a partnership, and it's all on me. Now, you want you to have some responsibility also. So what do they do? So the Gemara is on Daf Kuf Dalid. What they did, they made a takana that every iska, every type of relation that we have, that we're talking about now, is going to be half halva, half pikadon. The Chachamim made it, turns into half of a halva, half a pikadon. Therefore, half of the money is the chrayis of the misasik. It's a loan. It's all his. Half of it is, and he has to pay back, even if he loses it, the onus, or goes down, he has to pay that back. And all of the profit from this part belongs to the misasik. It belongs to the guy who's working. And the Baal HaMamon doesn't have any part in that profit. Again, this is all like a legal fiction, right? It's not fiction, it's a legal fiction, which means it's real. Remember, a professor in law school said that. Someone said, oh, legal fiction, that means it's fake. It was, no, fiction is a fake story. Legal fiction means it's real. It's legal. So the Chatzi is my contracts professor Johnson. The Chatzi Hasheni Shel Haschum, right? The second part of the money, that's a pikadon, and that's the achrayis in the Baal HaMamon. And therefore, if that goes down, all the half comes to the Baal HaMamon, and all the profit from that half belongs to the guy who gave the money. So we split up the $1,000, like $500 alone, $500 pikadon, all the profit from the $500 and all the loss from the $500 that's a loan belongs to you, the worker. All the $500 and the profit or loss from that $500 that's the pikadon is on me, the Bala Mamon. Still there's a problem. We still don't get rid of the rivers. Why? Because I'm not paying you now. So what happens? What it looks like? It looks like now you work, so the $500 that you're working on the loan money, that's yours. The loan belongs to you. You're working on it. You don't have to get paid for it. But now the $500 in that pot is a pikadon. It belongs to me. And you're working with me, the Bala Mamon. I'm the Bala Mamon. All you guys are the workers, okay? So I'm the Bala Mamon. I wish. So I'm the Bala Mamon. And so the $500 that's the pikadon that belongs to me, you're working, but you're not getting paid for it. Why are you working for free? Why are you working my money for free? Because I lent you the other $500. So the fact that you're working for free because I lent you the money looks like rivers. The fact that no one's asking questions means either everyone understands everything or no one understands anything. Okay, so that's rivers. So therefore, what do we do with that situation? So the Mishnah says, you can't enter into this Iskos scenario unless I pay. I have to give you some sort of schar, whether it's a nominal fee. There has to be some sort of fee whereby you are no longer working on my portion of the Iska, the Pikadum portion of the Iska, for free. That's the setup of the Mishnah. Okay. So, Ein Moshivin Chenvoni L'machitzis Haschar, we don't give a Chenvoni, the worker, the produce for him to sell it, and therefore profit from it, right? We don't give that to him, L'machitzis Haschar, for half, you know, for half the profit. The Lo Yitain Mos Likach Ben Peiros L'machitzis Haschar, in another case, you don't give. I'm providing the money. I don't give to you the money to go buy the produce and then go sell the produce and to split the profits. Ela im kein nosin lo scharo kifoel. Unless I give you wages like a foel, like a worker. So besides the profit that you'll get from the 50% that was a loan, you also get a little bit of a wage to get paid. I think so because It's Rivers to Rabbanon.
But they enacted this situation.
We're saying Xera to Xera?
No. They put in place a situation
where it looks like Rivers. Where it looks like Rivers. And now they're giving you a scenario to make it not look like Rivers. What do you mean? By paying him a wage, he's no longer working with my 50%, me being the Bala Mamon. He gets the profit on the 50% that's a loan. Plus, he gets a small wage on the 50%. That's a pikadon.
The wage could be a pruta, right?
We'll see. We'll see what the wage can be. He dips his bread into your salt. We'll see what it's a machlokas or what the wage is. But 50% is his as the loan. He gets his profit on there. 50% is a pikadon. That's my profit. He's working with my money for free. Looks like ribbis. Therefore, I have to pay him a wage. So he gets the 50%. He gets the profit off the 50% and the loss. Plus, he gets a wage, whatever that wage is that we'll talk about. Okay, that's case number one. Case number two, Ein Moshivin Tarnegolim Lemechsa. Someone can't give eggs to his friends on the condition, you can't give me eggs, and then I'll have my chicken sit on the eggs, and then we'll come out, and then the chicks will come out, and then we'll split the profits. Because, I guess, the case being is that I'm now taking upon myself the achrayus on half of the beitzim if they get ruined or not ruined, so therefore, the beitzim are like a halva. Okay, the ain't, and you can't do that unless you give me some payment. The ain shaman agalim siyachim lemechsa. So too, I can't give to a shepherd these agalim or these siyachim, these small a calf or a small whore or a colt, right? I can't estimate their value. I mean, I can't say how much they're worth now on condition that you're going to feed them and you're going to grow them for a year or two, and after 2 years we're going to sell them and we'll split the profit between the two of us, and we'll split the loss if there's a loss. Even this, those half of halva and half of pikadon, it's still the same. It's the same halacha. You're now working with half the pikadon for free. So I have to give you elein kein nosin lo schar amolo umazono. I have to provide the shepherd with a fee for his work and a fee for the food that he's going to use to raise my cows. Because in this situation, the capital, the cash, is the animal. And the other guy's working, and the shepherd is the one who's doing the work. They're going to split the profit or the loss. I can't give it, even though it's 50-50 pikadon hava, I still can't do that unless I provide him with the schar, because otherwise he's working on my pikadon portion without...
What profit is the mission in 50's case?
I guess it must have been a standard case. I mean, I don't know what the historical reason why this is in there. Right. Why in the Chenveni of the two cases also? That's the Gemara's going to ask. The Gemara asks why you need both cases. Right. Aval mikablon agolus siyachin lemechza. But if they don't, I think the difference over here is if you're not shaman, if you don't evaluate what they're worth now, what they're worth later. In other words, here the case is I can give you these calves and these colts to raise, and if I'm not marach, I don't estimate the value of them, because so then you with the makabel are no longer accepting upon yourself any. If I didn't evaluate them, you're not accepting upon yourself any profit or loss. You're just doing it. So if they die, you don't pay anything. So therefore, there's no kshash ribis, because the magadel is not accepting upon himself any achrayah, so there's no loan. He's just misasik in my behemos. That's not a loan situation anymore. Exactly. So there's no ribis problem. Just paying him, right? You're paying him a wage. And what's his wage? His wage here is he'll get half the profit afterwards. That's his wage. So that's the way. What? Right. This commission said it's 50%. High commission. Okay, next case in the Mishnah. So the question is, we just said at the end that you can be the shepherd can accept them and be Magadlim. Magadlim also Achi Mishulashin, V'chamor Achi Tuenas. And how long is the till he has to give it back? Till they get to a third ashore, until it's a third grown. And for a donkey, until it's big enough to carry a burden. Okay. That was the hardest part of this. The Gemara is not as hard as the Mishnah. Still no manal. Wow. So Tana. So we just said you have to pay him as a schar v'poel. What's a schar v'poel? Marcel asked. What's the schar? What is it? Schar v'poel. So Tana, the Brisa says, kifoel batel. You pay him the amount of somebody who doesn't work. That's what the Havamin is. The Gemara says that you give him the amount of a person who will be makabel himself to sit batel and not do any malacha. It's a small amount. I'll pay you to not do anything. So Gemara asks, "My kifo al batel? What's a kifo al batel? What does that mean?" So Amar Abaye, "Kifo al batel shall osa malacha de batel mina." No, it means Rashi explains. Let's say he's a carpenter, right? And the carpenter makes $100 an hour, but it's hard work. Hard work. How much? And you say to him, "You know what? If you to do something else, how much of a reduction in salary would you take? Maybe you want to. Maybe you just want to be a chenveni to watch a storekeeper. Storekeeper only makes $50 an hour." So you pay him the difference between what that's according to Rashi. Tosos is a different explanation. You pay him the difference, right? Tosos says in skar batel, really means skar batel, not doing anything, right? So if you look at Rashi, the top Rashi, im haya nagar o nafach, kama adam rotsa lito li batel mi malacha kveda kazo, velasos malacha kala. What's it worth it to him to switch jobs, to not be an M&A attorney in the 90s, and to be a trusted estates attorney? How much is he willing to make a part of the trusted estates attorney? How much is he willing to do that? So the Gemara says, now the Gemara says, the Mishnah had mentioned two cases. No tain peros l'chanvani l'machram, and no sin l'chaveiro mos k'dei liknos ben peros. Why do you need both cases? Right? Both cases are, I'm providing the capital. One, I'm providing the capital to a storekeeper for him to sell. One, I'm providing the capital to a guy to go ahead and go buy the stuff and then sell it. What's the difference? It's called a partnership. Utsricha. Why? The itan l'chanvani, if we just had the first case of the chanvani who decided to get paul batel. For the chanvani, this is why Tosfos makes a little more sense, but the chanvani, it's enough to give him a schar as kapol batel. You have to give him so much, because he's not doing much work. Mishim delo nafish tircha, he's not doing so much work. Aval mos likach ben peros, but to give it to a guy, to take the money, to go to the fish market, to go buy the fish, then to go, sorry, the fruit market, to go buy the fruit, and to go sell it, that's a lot of work. Right, the nafish tircha, emelo slagin likapol batel, maybe to pay him more. Maybe he's not going to be satisfied with Paul Butler. Maybe you have to pay him more to get out of the ribbis scenario. And the Tana Mos Likach Ben Peros. So let's just say the second case. The Mos Likach Ben Peros. So have him in a Hasam to buy Paul Butler. Only there you have to pay him a Paul Butler. Mishum Ben Nafish Tirche, because it's a lot of work. Aval Chanvani, which is not very little work. He just sits by the store as the storekeeper. The low Nafish Tirche. Ema, you would think Sagi Lei would be enough. Vimashu Ba'alma, just by giving him a little worthless nothing, right? For example, even if the chenvani only dipped his bread into your mix, right? Below achlimo grogres, or he just ate like a raisin from you. That would be enough to be his schar to get out of the situation. Therefore, Tzricha tell me in both situations you need to be it has to be kapoa batel, right? So Rashi doesn't fit in so well over here, because Rashi says kapoa batel is the difference in amount, and here he's saying that it's not a lot of money, right? Kapol batel, I mean, from a nagar to a chenveni, there may be a large difference. It's not necessarily a small amount. Okay, so we'll just read the simon, kam easy v'tanagolim ma'alim simon. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to bring a machlokas tanoim about the schar. We're still talking about the schar. So tana rabbanon, kam hu scharo. What's the schar? So three shitas. Bein meruba bein muah. It doesn't matter whether it's a lot or little, as long as you have to make a set amount, right? Bein meruba bein muah, divrei Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't have to set amount. I feel... Right, you know, if you lo tavli mo el betzir, lo achli mo el gegrogeres achaz el scharo. Even if he just dips his bread or eats, or, you know, eats a candy for me, that's enough. Rav Shimon Yochai Omer, he says no, no saying lo scharo mishalein. You have to give him, I guess, the poa butel. I think you have to give him a real amount. Okay, now. The Gemara now brings up Raisa, which talks about different types of Bali Chaim. Well, we said that you're not allowed to give the Bali Chaim to the friend. You don't have to do this Isko with these animals, right? Unless you pay him, right? That's only with Bali Chaim who don't do any Malacha. But if the Bali Chaim does Malacha, so the fact that he's doing work for the shepherd, that's enough of the payment. Okay? So Tana Rabbanan, ain't nosnin, ain't shaman. We don't give Beshuma, loas ha'izin, veloas ha'rechelim, velo kol. You don't give it the ochel lemechza in this situation. You don't give these animals unless you make the payment, right? But if there are animals that do work, you don't have to give the extra payment because the extra payment is the work that the animal is doing for the shepherd. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Shamin, Esa, Izin. Even though these Izin, right, aren't done for malacha, you're allowed to give it to the roeh in this shuma situation, even if he doesn't pay him a schar, why? Because you can get the milk, the esar achelim, and also the ewes, because meisha gozos v'shotvos umotos, because you can get the shearings off of them. So that's the schar. It's not like you're saying that you don't have to give him a schar. The schar is already in there. All right. That's a tanagolas, but neshi osa the ochelas. Tanagolas you can also give because it makes eggs and you can eat it. So the Gemara says the Tanakama says you can't do it. You have to pay a schar. The Tanakama giza b'chalav lo sipek l'schar amal mazono. All the milk and the shearings are not enough to equal the schar. So he says b'giza b'chalav kuli amal lo pligi. No, if there's giza and chalav, no problem. If you say that you can get the shearings and the milk, then it's not a problem. Ki pligi. We're talking about a case where we said that you only get the whey, you get the garbage that's left over, or you get over the leftover wool. So Tanakama saw Rav Shimon ben Yochai. The Tanakama says that he's not allowed to do that. He holds Rav Shimon ben Yochai the Amar Nosim Los Chorim Shalim. You have to give him a full wage, and these things aren't considered a full wage. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda saw Lo Kavua. Rabbi Yosi held like his father, Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Afilo Lo Tavli Mo El Batzir Lo Achim El Grogas Achas Zel Scharo.
So I guess maybe it's like you were saying, Seth. Since it's the Rabbanon, you just have to do a small thing to get out of that situation. So even the small, the garbage of the shearings, that's enough to constitute a payment, and therefore you're allowed, and that's why you're allowed to do get into these arrangements, even with these animals, even without specifying a schar, because these things are enough to be the schar. What?
You can.
Because you're paying him whatever that is. So now the Gemara brings another case when it comes to chickens. So Tana Rabbanan, Maskeres Isha Lecheber Tanagolos B'Shnei Afrochim. A woman who has a chicken or a hen, she's allowed to tell her friend who has the eggs, you give me the eggs, I'll have my Tanagolos sit on the eggs, and I'll deal with growing the eggs, and I'll take two eggs a year as the schar. I'm going to work, and that's my payment. That's fine. But Isha She'amar Lecheberta, Tarnagolos Shali, Ubechi Shalachi, we'll go into a partnership arrangement. My chicken and your eggs, right? Vaniva at Machlok Efroch, and then we'll split the profits. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to do that. I don't know why. Rabbi Shimon says you're not allowed to do that because it's a case of the same thing as Iska. You're looking like you're working with her. It's a chatzi lo haba, a chatzi pikadon, and I'm working with the pikadon aspect for no payment. All right? The Rabbi Yehuda lo boy schar amalu mazonon. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you're allowed to do this? Doesn't he say you have to give the schar for this? So ika beitzim muzaros. He says no, because the schar is here. We're talking about the beitzim that didn't fertilize. Those beitzim didn't fertilize. The Chasam Sofer says they have to be kosher, and they're kosher. They're edible. You're allowed to eat them. That's her schar. So there is a built-in schar. So there's no argument really over here. It has to be the built-in schar. The same case as our Mishnah. Okay. Try to go a little further. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that talks about paying for carrying. The Mesasek has to carry the animal. So Tana Rabbanan, Mokum Shenahagu Lahalo Schar Katov, in a place where the minog was that the person you would pay for somebody to carry the animals on their shoulders, Lemos Schar Katov Lemos Behema, right? The place would be where they would give these calves to the friend, and we do it b'shuma, and you would split the profits. You have to give him mos b'schar. So the mos b'schar you'd have to give him also would include the amount that they would pay for him to schlep the animals. So Mylan, you have to pay it. The ain mashani minhag medina, but you don't have to whatever the minhag medina is. That's what you do, right? Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer shamin egalim imo b'siachim imo v'afil b'makom shnogel al schar katek l'mos. But if I'm the Bala Mamon, I give you the calf and the mother, then I don't have to pay you for the amount that would be for carrying it, because we say that once the mother walks, the kid's going to follow the mother, and there'll be no problems. There'll be no reason for you to carry it, so they don't have to add that into the schar. So the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, low boy schar malam is on away. He doesn't. What about the schar? What if it doesn't go? And what, you have to feed it. You don't have to pay it. So he says, Ika glolim. Not you have the glolim. That's the benefit that he gets. He gets paid for the glolim for the excrement, which you can use as fertilizer. Just go one more minute. All right, the idach, why doesn't he say that the glolim, why do you have to pay? Why does he say you have to pay? The idach, glolim apkur, meaning according to the Tanakam, who says even in this situation, you have to give him the schar katef. It's not enough that the animal's going to follow its mother and that you have the glolim. Because glolim apkur makulu. No one wants the glolim. Right when they come out, you're marking them. So it doesn't belong to him. So, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't have, the Bala Mamon doesn't have to give to the Mas'asek a big schar, meaning even if he was tabal yimo, that's enough of a schar. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, who says that you can do the shaman by the izim and rechalim with the schar of the way or of the bad shearings. The halacha of Shimon Gamliel, that you can be shaman the egel with the calf with the mother, and you don't have to pay the schar katef. Right. You continue with this tomorrow. Have a good day.